If you're looking for a new way to support the podcast, check out W.GG, an energy supplement company trying to make a difference. There, you can use code SIDEMISSION for 10% off your order. Thank you to W for sponsoring this episode, and we hope you enjoy.
Welcome in to the newest episode of Side Mission. I, like always, am your host, Rusty Ellis, joined by just one of the boys, Matt Beck, and today we are finally, after a couple weeks of delaying this, because, well, I've been very, very busy at work, I know Matt has as well, and, well, Kyle, he works from home, so, I mean, he just kind of shows up to record whenever we tell him to, but we are finally talking about Avowed, a game that I think, Matt, both of us were very pleasantly surprised by. I think this is a game that... I don't know that either of us really had any expectations for this game, and it's not that it didn't look good or that we weren't interested. It was just more or less kind of, in a year like this one where, you know, Elden Ring Nightreign and Doom Dark Ages and potentially Grand Theft Auto 6, it wasn't really a game that excited us just because of everything else coming out. But it's a game I think we're both very happy with after playing through it. And I think that it's a game that, especially if you're on Xbox and you can get it on Game Pass, I think it's absolutely worth the time because I've enjoyed just about every minute I've played this game. So, Matt, we'll just dive right in. I think that for a lot of people, it would be very easy to say that this game almost looks like, I don't want to say great value Skyrim because of the combat system. But I have seen people say that, oh, it just kind of looks like Skyrim. It's a fantasy medieval RPG. But I really feel like in terms of world building, in terms of gameplay, I feel like this game does a really good job of carving out its own identity.
Yeah, it does. Honestly, one of the things that sticks out to me the most upon, you know, first starting this game up is the art style is gorgeous. A lot of the living lands, that the areas that you explore, they just pop out. And honestly, like, I found myself, I was playing some of it last night, like, I never just realized how, you know, immersive that the world is, honestly. Like, there's, you know, so many things going on. And what really... I honestly, and this is something that you'll find all around the world of the Living Lands, is the mushroom fungi called the Dream Scourge, and we'll get to more of that here in a minute. But it is just, there's no lack of color in this game. Like, the art style is just gorgeous. The character models are hit or miss for me sometimes. There's some character models for characters that have fur that looks really weird. I don't know if it's a bug or something, but sometimes it just looks like that their hair are just like these singular like points just sticking out of their face, and it just doesn't look like fur to me. But aside from that, like, Obsidian is just really well known for making these fleshed out RPGs, these fantastic worlds to explore. A lot of people will know them from, you know, Fallout New Vegas, which is one of their most prolific titles, but they've honestly done a lot of games like, and honestly, this development team has been working like clockwork, especially this current generation. You know, they gave us Outer Worlds, they gave us Grounded, they gave us Avowed, and then we're also getting Outer Worlds 2, and I'm just amazed by this development studio, what they were able to pull off.
No, I agree. And I think that there's a lot of things that work really well in the game. I think the world building is maybe the first thing I think of when I think of what I love. Because the idea of this thing, of this plague known as the Dream Scourge, where, you know, something, you know, whether it's an animal, a human being, whoever, when they die, their bodies are basically become infested and they almost become these zombie undead-like husks that... Again, they can't be really controlled by anybody, and they more or less act on their own accord. And it's this really interesting premise because you're sent there as this godlike, which is what your character is known as in this game, which is basically you're the descendant of a god. Your character doesn't know who you descended from. So that's another interesting plot point that I love that this game delves into, is not really knowing where you came from, who you're a descendant of. And It's this interesting back and it's this really interesting, you know, again, this plot thread that really, I think, drives you along to playing the game, in addition to, again, the storyline with the Dream Scourge, because for me, that was one of my main motivations, was I really want to learn more about this world. I want to know more about this conflict and why this empire that, you're essentially an envoy for. I want to know why this village that you come up to in the beginning, I want to know why they feel oppressed. I want to know more about what the history is here. I want to know more about why these two groups don't get along. There are so many interesting threads here that keep you playing, and I feel like that's one of the hallmarks of a really good RPG, is that there are story thread after story thread after story thread that keeps you motivated and keeps you wanting to learn more. And I think that this game, again, does a really, really good job of that. And do I think it's the best game that's ever done that? No, probably not. There's probably games that have done it better. But again, when you factor in that, like, I played this on Game Pass, you played this on Game Pass, we didn't pay a dime for it outside of our Game Pass subscription, I feel like this is a game that's worth it alone because of the world. But again, then you also mentioned the art style. Love the art style. I think that there has become a discourse nowadays that if a game doesn't look like a 4K movie or a 4K render, then it's not a good-looking game. But we've seen it in the past that some studios, while they maybe don't specialize in character models or textures, they specialize with creating this style of this world that feels unique, that feels like it's a style all their own, like they handcrafted this. And there might be some things that are drawn from other games. Like, I feel like this game, if I had to really compare it, I think that IGN got it right when they compared it. It's almost like a cross between Skyrim and Dragon Age. It's very, very similar. Yeah. If you combine those two and you know, the result you got was Avowed, I feel like that's a really apt comparison. And again, Skyrim, as successful as it was, and the Dragon Age series outside of Veilguard, how successful it's been as a series, I feel like those are two really good places to take, you know, motivation from, or maybe take some inspiration from. And I feel like this game does a really good job of melding those two kinds of styles together in the gameplay as well. I think another thing that stuck out to me, Matt, getting into just what kept me going, I liked the story of this game quite a bit, but what I really liked was the side content. I was a fan, no pun intended, I was a fan of the side missions. I was a fan of those. I know. The pun there was too easy to make. But nonetheless, there's one interesting one where the very first town that you get to, this little harbor town, you have to go and find this group of explorers that originated from here, and it ends up taking you to a cave where there's this guy, or there's this dude, I don't really know what he is, to be honest with you, who he's trying to summon this powerful being that essentially was the cause of the war that nearly wiped everything out long ago in this world. And again, it's something that when I stumbled upon this quest, I didn't really think much of it. I was like, okay, these guys were probably attacked by a giant bear, or there's probably a creature that attacked them and killed them. And no, it was this other guy who's claiming to be a godlike or similar to a godlike, and he is trying to unleash this vengeful spirit back into the world. And Matt, it actually ends up becoming a pretty important part of the story. And it was something that I felt like where I started in that quest and where I ended was not at all how I thought it was going to go, and I loved it. I felt like the best way to put it, this game kept surprising me.
Yeah, I want to say, as far as like the side quests go, and this goes for the game in general, is what makes it so deep and just so, you know, kind of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Addicting, is honestly the conversation tree is really fantastic, because a lot of these games, they always claim that your choices will, you know, impact the story. And a lot of the time, that's just like, you know, that's just PR speak for the most part. This game is not like that. A lot of the times, like, when you get to choose, you know, what your responses are, the characters have different dialogue and react differently. And honestly, you can either be, you know, a very caring person, like you're, you know, compassionate to a lot of the people's plight that they're going through, or you can just be a sarcastic asshole. Honestly, you can lie. You can be aggressive, basically, you know, encounter a character and, you know, they come off as threatening, and immediately you could be like, you know what, screw this conversation, I'm just going to attack you, and immediately you'll go into a battle, or you can talk things through and come to an, you know, come to an agreement and sometimes get something out of it. And that right there is one of the strongest things that this game has going for it, is this is absolutely a game that needs multiple playthroughs in order to, you know, fully experience it. Will I do that? I don't know. Like, right now, I just want to get through the campaign. I'm very close to completing it. But that's just one of those things that I really like. And just when your actions as the main character actually set off different events and, you know, change the way the dynamic and the story plays out for future reference. Now, I actually found this out through an achievement. You remember Fjor in Emerald Storm? Okay, so spoilers, are we good?
I mean, I think the game's been out long enough.
Fair enough. So, depending on your actions, you can basically lead Fjor to being burned down. But I also found out that based off of your actions, you can save Fjor from being burned down. I was like,
that's pretty sick.
I was like, I didn't know that. I could have saved an entire town instead of having them have their village burned out, and then they're just all outcasts outside of there because they don't have a home to go to. They basically, you can have conversations with some of the villagers and basically tell them, you should go to Scatterthorpe. It's safer there, that kind of thing. Or you can convince them to stay. Like, that's the kind of thing that I love to see in RPGs.
Yeah, a certain level of choices that you can make that matter. Like, there's another one, and this is when you first get to the Emerald Stair, and I know both of us had the same exact thing mm-hmm. happen. One of the first quests that you go on there, you go into this area, and there's a bunch of these enemies that you're seeing for the first time ever, and yeah. you're more or less, you're not really thinking about it, you're just kind of attacking and defending yourself, and
yeah.
eventually you get to there, and you meet their queen, and if you killed too many of them, she will not help you. You have to fight her. But if you can yeah. stealth your way through, you can talk to her. She'll help you. She'll reason with you. And you go from there. Again, like it's stuff like that that, you know, again, do I wish that maybe the game had maybe nudged me and been like, hey, you don't have to fight here. Maybe a little bit. But I don't feel like it necessarily had to do that. I like that that's something that you can discover, and if you want to redo it, you can always reload your save and try to sneak through.
That's what I did.
About it. Exactly. So it's one of those things. It's like, it's so interesting to see how different the story can play out depending on where your mind goes in the gameplay. I really like that quite a bit, actually. And again, I think this game did that really well. Speaking of things this game did really well, we haven't talked about it yet, but the combat. The combat is really good. I think that especially when you finally get your bearings about you, I think that what makes this combat work is two things. One is just how weighty the weapons feel. Like if you're wielding a great sword or you're wielding a hammer, it feels heavy. And you know, okay, I've got to give myself more of an opening before I attack. If you're wielding a smaller weapon or you're wielding magic, those are both going to play differently than from each other, and they're going to play differently from heavier weapons. So the feel is the first thing that I think this game knocks out of the park. But the second thing, and this may seem like such a small deal, but it's a detail and it's a small thing that makes a world of difference. I feel like the dodge is really intuitive. It's really good. And I think that, again, when you get comfortable with it, especially in first-person mode, I think that that opens the combat up to where all of a sudden it becomes almost a dance between you and your enemy, where you're looking for every opening, you're trying to capitalize, and when you pull off that perfect dodge and you're able to get your attack in to kill your enemy, it feels very satisfying. I thought, Matt, the combat, both the variety of it and I think the rewarding nature of it, I thought both shined really well in this game.
Yeah, I, for the most part, have stuck to like a sword and shield combo. I think it's really satisfying when I'm perfectly countering the enemy's attacks, and there's a little yellow meter underneath their health that indicates a stun bar. And once you fill that up and then you do an attack, you do this really powerful kind of parry and you just like do a shit ton of damage to them. And then actually here recently outside of the Sword and Shield, I started experimenting with other things. I found a I found a mythical mace, and I equipped that with a mythical grimoire that I had found, and I kind of switched between my sword and shield, and then those two items, and it just really keeps the combat fresh, honestly, especially as you are leveling up your character and different, you know, skills and stats. I've been kind of a bit focused more on the magic since I discovered that grimoire, because it's really, really powerful. Like, I can shoot a constant stream of ice, or I can bring down the stars and crashing into the enemies. Lightning, like just things like that. It just keeps it fresh, and all of the grimoires had the same spells. There's a variety of spells here, on top of the envoys, the godlike powers that you collect throughout the game, such as, you know, being able to have healing you and your partners, even just being able to summon vines out of the ground to snare an enemy and place. Just so much variety here, and the magic also works on different parts of the environment. You can use ice to create like ice plates along the water, so you can walk across it to reach a platform you couldn't reach otherwise. There's different doors that are locked, and you have to find like these hidden switches that you shoot electricity at. And even if you don't have those abilities, your partners can provide that, like Kai. He's like the blue fish guy that you meet early on in the game. He's a fantastic partner. You'll see these orangish vines wrapped around different places, and that's where this game really shines, is the exploration, because you're constantly finding chests, you're constantly finding weapons and all different, and food. Don't get me started on the food. I am like, my inventory is stacked of food because I'm constantly using my potions and my essence potions and to heal all that stuff. But the food comes in handy. Very often, and I'm just stunned. Like the fact that there's bows, maces, great axes, long swords, base swords, grimoires, wands. Like,
I feel like what we're getting at is that there's so much variety, and it feels like if you wanted to play through the game, you could play through it completely different ways.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think that the party members are a big part of that. I mean, Kai, like you said, is more of this tank that. One of my favorite abilities is one of the ones you get very early on, and I dumped so many points into it, was where he can teleport and deal an insane amount of damage to an enemy that you pick out, to where if it's a bigger enemy, you can take out most of their health bar and then finish them off, and then that leaves a bunch of the weaker enemies to you. You've got Marius, who's really good. He's more of that ranged attacker. You've got Giada, who's more of this healer, who's more of a support role, and there's always use for that. And then you meet Yoxley later on, or you meet her at the Emerald, early in the Emerald Stair, and she's more of a wizard. Again, a little bit more of a ranged attacker, but a different form of range, and it feels completely different from Marius. So I like that the four party members that you can meet, the four companion characters you can meet, I like that they all feel different, and that personality-wise, they all feel different. Kai is more of this empathetic, like, it's more important to forgive than to take revenge. Marius is more of this straight to the point, like, what you see is what you get, and you know, there you can't try to look for hidden meaning when there's not one. And then I felt like Giada and Yoxley each had their own unique stories as well. With Giada, I thought her story in particular was really, really gut-wrenching, because she essentially gets kicked out of her home, gets kicked out of her village that she served for years, and then her family has served for years, because the leader ultimately is scared of what the Dream Scourge could be. He doesn't want to approach it for what it is. He is scared and tries to convince people that it's not more dangerous than it actually is. And it's again, all of these side stories meld really, really well with the main story, and I love that so much. Now, Matt, when you think about criticisms for this game, I think there are some things to critique. I do want to say, the more I think about it, the more I really enjoy this game, and my list of criticisms are really short. What personally do you feel like this game could have done better?
Honestly, for me, it's enemy variety. I'm tired of finding like the same, you know, Zarbs, these lizard-like enemies and spiders all the freaking time. That is literally all you fight. And eventually you'll fight like these stone golems. You'll fight, you know, ghosts, skeletons. Those, the most common thing you find in these types of games, and I'm like, there's so much more variety that you could have, you know, had us fight. I mean, this is a fantasy game. There's no limit here except for the dev's imagination. But they really didn't use their imagination here, because, like I said, it's just the same enemy types that we have fought over and over. The only thing that shocked me is I haven't fought a bat.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true. I think that the enemy variety, and I think you notice this in the first couple of areas, I think more so than any of the others, is that it is more or less the same enemies over and over. Like, at first, it'll be just spiders and bears, and you see a lot of those. Like, you see a lot of those. But I do think that that's something that they could have been a little more creative with, was the enemy variety. I do agree with that. The thing that I think stuck out the most to me is, while I enjoyed the story, I think that it's fair to say the story really didn't surprise me all that much. It is pretty straightforward what happens. Obviously, like we said, you're this godlike, this envoy of the Emperor that is trying to solve this plight that is the Dream Scourge. But one of the earliest twists in the game is that your character is actually killed.
Yeah.
Like, you are killed really early on, and then it kind of becomes this, again, I don't want to say like predictable, but it's this storyline of, okay, now one of the stories is you need to solve who was trying to kill you and why they were trying to do so. And it kind of plays out exactly like you think it's going to play out. And I think that that's one thing I think, again, they maybe could have done a little bit better with. Now, I do want to say, I didn't think it was necessarily a bad thing that it was predictable. I guess I would have just liked a little bit more surprise there. If the story surprised me, it's that it kept me going enough to want to play more and more and more of this game, and it kept me going longer than I thought I maybe ever would with this game. And I don't think that I'm done with it quite yet either. I think that there's still more for me to discover. But I maybe would have liked a few more twists put in there, because it does feel like one of the biggest twists in the game is used right at the beginning. When you're killed and you're brought back to life, and now one of the mysteries you need to solve is, okay, who was after me? Who, what assassin was after me? And ultimately, why were they after me? And the problem is it kind of played out exactly like I thought it would. So I would have certainly liked a little bit more surprise there. I don't know how you felt about that.
Honestly, it's what you said. It was pretty predictable, especially the outcome at the end. But at the same time, because of the variety of ways that the story can play out, I like the fact that you can either forgive the assassin and, you know, let them move on and you get a really cool item out of it, or you could just straight up just kill the guy. And I like the fact that some of your companions take differently to it. Like, Marius is like, I wouldn't have let the guy go, but, you know, and Kai is like, appreciated that you let the guy go. So, things like that. I did have one other complaint, and this is a very minor one, but I don't know how you felt about it. I don't like how the map reveals itself. Especially for someone who's so OCD like me, and I just open up my map and I just see all this blank space in between the sections that I've explored, and you have to basically walk through those areas to unveil it. Not like in Assassin's Creed where you climb up a tower and reveal a giant section of it, but it literally is just like I'm going to call it like a snail trail. It's just something that follows you and keeps track of where you've been.
Or that's like a really good comparison, actually, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I want to be able to reveal, you know, whole sections that I've been to, not just like these tiny little parts. And when I pull up the map, it's just the most fucking bothering thing to me.
Yeah, I could see that being a pretty fair complaint. Again, it may be a minor complaint, but I think it's fair. I think it's very fair, because, like, I think you could have done a better job of revealing the map. But if that's what we're complaining about, I think it's safe to say the game is really, really good. And again, if you have Game Pass, I think you should play this game, because I think Avowed is really good. And it's, for me, probably the second most surprising game I've played this year in terms of games that I've really enjoyed that I wasn't really sure about. Number one, obviously, if you've listened to the episode by now, is Monster Hunter Wilds. But I think that this game is a really high-quality fantasy medieval RPG, and I think if you're into that kind of thing, I think you'll really enjoy this game. So, Matt, before we call it an episode, was there anything else you wanted to add?
No.
Wow, that might be that might be a first with Side Mission. Matt Beck has nothing to add after me asking that. You know what, though? Hey, I'm not complaining. I'll take it. That is going to do it for this episode of Side Mission. You can follow us on Twitter at Side Mission Pod. You can check us out on Facebook as well at Side Mission Podcast. More content will be coming. Next week, we'll be talking a little bit, or no, we'll be talking a lot about Split Fiction, Assassin's Creed Shadows. Spoiler alert, we really are enjoying both games. So this has been a really good year for games so far, because so far, every game that we've reviewed, we have really, really enjoyed. So look forward to that. For Matt, I'm Rusty. Thanks for listening. Yeah.